We are at Os Lamed, entry number 30 in the Rebbe's diary, in which he speaks at length in what is introduced in the parentheses at the beginning of Likut Eze Hisrag Shuyos, a collection of feelings, Miyamim Tovim, from the days, the good days, from the days of celebration, Mizmani Harikudim Tartzag, from the days of, from the times of the dancing of Rikud of 1933, the Rebbe experiences with his Hasidim the Yomim Noraim, the days of awe, and the 1 second. Let me just 1 second. Someone just popped in. Hold on. Sorry about that. We just had to square away. The room is okay. So the Rebbe says, I experienced Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and Simchas Torah with our community, and I had feelings over Simchas Torah. And the Rebbe describes here these incredible feelings that he had, specifically about the dancing that took place on Simchas Torah. And this very long entry, in this entry, the Rebbe has a conversation. And first he has a conversation, he addresses the Ribbono Shel Olam. Over the course of the conversation, he also addresses the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, that voice that critiques. He addresses the Palmalia Shalmaila. How do you translate that? That's like the heavenly court. The Rebbe has a conversation. And so this lengthy essay, the Rebbe is describing his feelings about Simchas Torah. There are, in my mind, four different elements that the Rebbe is bringing to the fore in this description, in this entry in his diary. And that proposes four challenges for us, four opportunities for us, four things for us to think about. So the first is that the Rebbe begins with this conversation, and he carries it through. The idea that he is speaking to Hashem, just in his own language. He says, Ribbono Shel Olam, Shomea Kol Bechios, the one who hears all of the tears. And then he describes the same thing in the second paragraph. Harbe olamos barasa, you've created many worlds, etc. So the first is the idea that we speak directly to Hashem. This is true, the Rebbe's describing and modeling for us with the idea of what we call hisbodidus, perhaps, of speaking directly to God in your own language, which we're going to speak about at a different time. I invite everybody to join us for the upcoming Nili Yarchi Kala, where we're going to have an opportunity to address this idea. It's the tradition very much emphasized by Rabbi Nachman of Breslov of speaking directly to God, opening your heart and speaking directly to Him. But in addition, or at the basis of this idea of speaking directly to Hashem, is the fact not just that we can do that, but even when we don't innovate our own tefillos, we are doing that. Every time we daven, every time we say a bracha, we say atah. We address Hashem Yisbarach in second person. The Rebbe later, during those difficult days, those horrible times in the ghetto, actually it's before the establishment of the ghetto, in Warsaw in September of 1940, the Rebbe delivered a talk which is recorded in the Eish Kodesh, in the Holy Fire. So the Rebbe describes how we have this incredible gift, the ability to say Atah. And that when we say Atah, you, that brings the conversation into our lives. Right now, the Ribbono Shel Olam, of course, is Melech HaLaretz Kavodo, but it feels abstract, it feels disconnected. And yet, when we say Baruch Atah, you, that you means and creates the immediate connection with Hashem. You create it when you say Atah, because so to speak, you bring Hashem's presence right in front of you. Baruch Atah Hashem. And the Rebbe describes there in the Eish Kodesh how HaKadosh Baruch Hu engages us in conversation. It's hard for us to hear that. But the idea that we speak to God informally and formally, number one, we have an Atah. Number two, the Rebbe here in this passage, he describes the incredible joy that people had on Simchas Torah. And you see that people, the way that they are enthusiastic, they're dancing, they're getting into it, they're so excited. This idea of joy, the Rebbe says, is so powerful because we can't necessarily even explain it. The Rebbe says, these Jews, these plain Pasha Jews, they have so many struggles, so many challenges, so many difficulties. You know, Baruch Hashem, today we have a life which is so much better than they could have ever even imagined back at that time. But still, people have challenges, people have struggles, things that drag us down, that make us feel depressed. And yet there are times where we're able to marshal our inner strength, really feel a sense of joy, of excitement, of true simcha, to the extent that someone is dancing. The Rebbe says, these Jews who on the one hand are so downtrodden, they have so many struggles, and yet they find it within to dance, to celebrate, to find moments of joy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How powerful is that? So the first theme that the Rebbe expresses here in this piece is the idea of speaking with Hashem openly and directly. The second theme that is clear in this piece is the power of simcha, of choosing to feel a sense of joy and purpose and excitement in serving Hashem that expresses itself through dancing. But on the other hand, one of the most, maybe the second most prominent theme in this piece is not so much the joy, but the idea of dim'a, of tears, of crying. You know, we say in the davening, in the Yom HaNoraim, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shetosim dimoseinu benod chalios, God keeps all of our tears. And that's something that the Rebbe talks about a lot in this piece. That God, you are the one who carries this flask of tears, the ocean of Jewish tears. So the Rebbe says to God, he says, Ribono Shel Olam, Ma Ta'asem Kol HaDma'os? What are you going to do with all of those tears? You're not going to, God forbid, spill them out. What are you going to do with them? He's saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's saying to God, please, listen to those tears, to the wail of that ocean of tears. You've created many worlds and many creations, and yet only the Jewish people pay attention to you, and they are crying. Even if they're not perfect, the Jews, we were not perfect, but we have this pouring out of our hearts. The Rebbe taps into the idea of the power of tears. It's an amazing story of Rabbi Aryeh Levine, of a woman who came to Rabbi Aryeh and was crying bitter tears. Her husband was sick. She had many difficulties in her life. And she cried in front of him, and he tried to comfort her. And then, unfortunately, a short while later, her husband passed away. She came back, and she was crying bitter, bitter tears. And she was disconsolate. And finally, at one moment, Rabbi Aryeh says, well, at least you should know that even though your husband passed away, your tears are not lost. And that God holds on to those tears. And they have an impact somewhere in some way. Maybe there was some harsh decree that was supposed to be decreed against the community or against someone. And those tears have softened that decree. And the woman stops crying and she looks at the Tzaddik of Yerushalayim and she says, really? Really? He says, absolutely. There's no such thing as wasted tears. Those tears are going into the Ribono Shel Olam's flask, into his jar, the ocean of tears. She says, you know, that maybe is my first light of comfort. Could you tell me the same idea? Can you tell me it again? Say it again. Explain it to me one more time. To realize the power of tears. And the last element here in this very long piece is the idea of asking questions, not understanding. The Rebbe says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't really understand. There is this ocean of tears of Jews over centuries. There is the commitment, there is the joy. And yet, there's silence. There's no redemption. How could it be that the ocean of tears is silent? He says to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That the ocean of tears doesn't burst forth and bring the Mashiach, brings the salvation, bring the light and the joy to people's lives. And yet it's not here. How can it be? I don't understand, says the Rebbe. And this is 1933, well before what would happen to him in his later years, in his world being destroyed, in the Jewish world being destroyed. He says, I don't understand. He says at the end of the last paragraph, Shomea kol b'chios, you who hear all of the cries, have rachmanas on us. Bring us close in the darkness. And how does he conclude the piece? Al tzidkosecha anu betuchim, uvishuascha anu smechem. We rely on you. Even though we don't understand, even though we have struggles. There's so much to unpack in this piece. The truth is we really need a whole month, not just a few minutes of chizuk. But the chizuk that this paragraph gives us is that invites us to continue. It invites us to take up four challenges, four areas of thought. The first one is to say ata, to really feel and experience the second person, the immediate interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ata, to speak to God. The second is to find points of simcha with Hashem, points of joy. When do we dance? If it's not physically, it's internally. The third is to have that deep cry, to figure out why it is that we're not crying. How do we connect on a deep emotional level with our Yiddishkeit? And the last is to ask, to address HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to express our feelings, our hopes, our worries, our questions, but to be okay without having the answers. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev was once walking on the street and he saw a couple of Jews who were screaming at a simple poor farmer, a simple Yid. So he came over to find out what's the commotion. So they said, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, hey, look at Rebbe, this man, you should hear what he was saying. Rabbi Yitzchak said, so what's going on? Apparently, the man said, he was screaming at God. We heard him screaming at God in his backyard. How could you do this to me? What's wrong with you? What kind of God are you? So Levi Yitzchak, he settles everybody down. He goes over to the Jew. He says, everybody, okay, it's time to go home. So he sits down with this Jew and he says, Rabbi, what's going on? And he's clearly distraught. He says, Rebbe, I have one cow. One cow, it's the source of the livelihood for me and my family, all of my children. And that cow died this morning. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak looked at the Ribbono Shel Olam. He says, God, do you see how beautiful and how wonderful and how inspiring your children are? Your children care so much about you. Then when something like this happens, where do they turn? They turn to you. Because they believe in you. It's the idea of, yes, asking God, of turning to God, but being okay with not having an answer. Because in this world, we don't have all of our answers. We don't have all of our answers. B'tzidkoscha anu betuchim. This period, the 3 weeks, is a time for us to reinvest in our atah, in the presence of God in our lives, because it's not so apparent. It's to find ways to create simcha, of joy, of celebration with God, even when it's dark outside. To find an emotional connection, that deep crying, that dimma. And ultimately, during this period of questions, of tragedies, of difficulties, to ask, to challenge, to embrace HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to be okay without answers.